Well, I want to read John 10 and 10 from the Passion Version. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but I have come to give you everything in abundance. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. We should be overflowing with God's goodness. We should be overflowing with God's favor. We should be overflowing with God's peace. When you walk into a room, you carry within you the very peace of God. And things should settle down. How many have ever walked in to a room where there were two people there having an argument, and you could like literally cut the atmosphere? It was charged with those words of anger and bitterness and deceit and whatever. And you could tell. How many can witness with that? You could tell. Well, when we walk into a room, we should be carrying with us the attributes of God: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are who God is. All of those are His attributes. When you became His, when you got born again, then you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Things changed radically for you. You became a new species of being. A new species. Not, He didn't fix you. He took the old man out and put a new man in. I said He took an old man out and put a new man in. You've become a new species of being. There's one translation that says that's never existed before. God set this up for us. Okay? And so I want to just quickly highlight where we were last week. We were answering the question or the concern that many, many people have. It's one of the probably top five questions I receive as a pastor is, what is my purpose? What am I here for? Or they'll comment, I just don't know what I'm here for. And closely related to that is, I just don't hear from God. I don't seem to have the ability to hear from God. Well, if you don't have the ability to hear from God and you don't believe you are, then that's going to be hard to hear from Him what you're supposed to be doing, isn't it? And so they're very closely related. So I want to answer for you by the Word of God what God has shown us. Because like I said, He's already got an answer for every situation we have, including what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the will of God, the perfect will of God for my life? It's not hard to find out, but it will take some diligence on your part in seeking Him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. He said, seek first. See, sometimes we have priorities in wrong order. And we're not letting God be first in our life. And we've got to let God be first in our life. So when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His right way of being, His right way of doing things, when we seek that first, He says, all the other things He'll give unto us. Everything. It's not about us trying to attain them. He said He'd give them to us. But we've got to have the relationship part right. He's got to be first in our life. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the Amplified, verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts. Notice who's put it into your heart. God has. He's put eternity into your hearts and minds. Listen to this. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose. God has implanted into you a purpose, and it's been planted into your spirit man. Working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. That's why parents, you cannot tell your children what they're going to be when they grow up. Why? Because it's not your job to do that. God said he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you. He knew him before he even formed him. Then he tells him, I formed you. It wasn't mom and dad. Mom and dad had a part to play, but God's the one that formed us. God's the one that implanted destiny in our hearts. God's the one that puts that in there. So God is the only one that would know what's in there. I don't know what's in your heart as far as your destiny. So I'm not even qualified to tell you what you should be doing. Now, after getting to know you for a period of time, I will begin to pick up on things, and we're going to look at some things, because you really reveal and tell on yourself, but maybe you're just not seeing it yourself. And I'll explain that in a little bit. So God is the one that has implanted it. God is the one that only he can satisfy it. And that's why people are, like I said, top five questions. It always comes up. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. That goes over and over on the inside of people, and it bothers them because they don't know. They've tried this. They've tried that. They've done this. They've done that. They've belonged to this group. They've gotten involved with this group. But nothing can satisfy them but God. And so when you seek first God in your life, and that's why we need to reflect a God that people in the world will want. If our lives are a mess and a wreck and railroaded and, you know, off the tracks, why would anybody want to have that? They got their own problems. So we've got to demonstrate, that's how we live. We need to demonstrate by how we live, what we say, what we do, how we react in a situation. When we're offended, do we immediately lash out back with hurtful words? God doesn't want us to do that. He'll take care of the hurt in you, but you've got to reflect the Father. I mean, my goodness, if you can, I don't want you to think of, but all the sins we've done, and yet God cleans us completely white as snow. He doesn't even see it. He's erased it from his memory. God doesn't even know. That's how much he loves you. He wants the relationship between you and him to be pure and perfect. And the more, you see, when we get born again, one third of us is perfect, our spirit. But nothing happened to our bodies, you know? And nothing happened to our soulish realm. Our soulish realm realizes something's happening, but doesn't know what it is. That's why, you know, when we lead people, and again, we're leading them, we're not making them, we're offering them the opportunity. You know, I'm a salesman for God. And the benefits, what he pays back in dividends is amazing. It's more than Bill Gates has. Until you've talked with somebody and shared the goodness of God and seen them give their heart to the Lord, you haven't lived. See somebody riddled with a disease and see God instantly heal them. That's just God. That's how much he loves us. So God's not mad at us. He's not upset with us. He loves us, and he's patiently waiting for us to get involved and receive what he's got for us, including your destiny, including the purpose of why we're here. Verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to be glad and to get and do good as long as they live. Notice that. It's not just that we do good, it's that we get to do good. How do we get to do good? And part of that is by what we do for other people. Part of that is helping them, but we have to be helped ourselves before we're in a position to help somebody else, right? I mean, we can't be a total wreck and on the ground wailing in our misery and think we're going to, you know, help bring somebody into the kingdom. And so we've got to, so how do we do that? We do that by following the word of God. Verse 13, also every man should eat and drink and enjoy all the good of his labor. The last week I shared that the number one primary purpose that we are here is to have a relationship with God and it's to reflect him on planet Earth. He gave Adam that mandate to go into all the earth and to use the vast resources, everything that's in the earth, to serve number one, God, number two, to serve each other. We're to serve one another. We're not to lord over one another. Husbands, you're not supposed to be lording it over your wife and telling her, well, I'm the head. No, you're the head as Christ is the head of the church. So you have to line up with the way Christ is. Don't misquote what God said. God said that you're the head of the wife as God, as Jesus is head of the church. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He's not judging you. Okay, that was just a little sidebar. So every man should eat and drink and enjoy all the good of his labor. It's the gift of God. So our number two reason for why God has us here, our purpose, our secondary purpose, would be our calling or our purpose based on our uniqueness. And that's really what people want to know is, what am I called to do? How has God set me up? And so you've got to seek within your spirit, man, to find this. I want to read from you, again, out of the Passion, out of Philippians. I just like the way, it's a new Bible, so it doesn't just open automatically. Philippians 2 and verse 12, I'm going to start with. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, or to the Christians. So you and me, if we're Christians. Believers, my beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God. Notice whose responsibility it is. It's our responsibility. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested. You're responsible for fully manifesting what God's given you. You're required to fully manifest or bring about out of your spirit being what God's wired in there. It's nobody else's responsibility but yours, but mine, for me. Okay? He says, which brings you trembling into his presence. I tell you, when you realize what God's put inside of you, it'll bring you trembling in awe. Not trembling afraid, trembling in awe. Like, I can't believe that this is what he's done. God will continually revitalize you. How many here this morning need to be revitalized? It says here, he will continually do it. That means every day. You know, we come and, for poor expression, but come and get our fix on Sunday morning. But that's not what it's all about. We're supposed to be living in the presence of God. We're supposed to be reflecting God every day out there. It's what I'm saying here this morning is important for what's out there, not so much in here. We can come and we can put a smile on our face and we can worship and follow the worship team who does an amazing job and we can get to a place. But what about Tuesday when somebody's cussing you out at work? Are you looking like Christ? Are you resembling him at all? Okay, he goes on to say, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. The passion to do what pleases him. Now you say, well, that sounds like I'm just pleasing him. The passion to please him will be your passion. Think about it. It will become your passion. It will become what you want. God's not trying. He didn't wire you to do something for him that you don't like. He wired you to do something you would be passionate about that would be his passion too. He needs us all. He needs bricklayers and he needs, you know, bakers. And he needs nurses and he needs doctors. And he needs school teachers. He needs everybody on planet Earth doing their part for what he's wired them. He goes on to say, live a cheerful life. Man, we could just preach on that all day. Are you living a cheerful life? Are you happy? Are you happy when you meet somebody on the street? Or do you look the other way while you're walking? So many people seem to be so depressed and they're consumed with the life that they're involved in, and it's not a good one. It's our responsibility to live a cheerful life. So why? So we can bring something good to that person. We got to get our eyes off ourselves. God will take care of all our needs. He'll take care of all our finances, but we got to get our minds and our eyes off ourselves. God, I've got this list of things I need from you. No, it's God, I love you. I thank you for what you've already done for me. I want to be used of you. I want to be just like Jesus, and I want to reflect and bring God, your goodness, Father, to everybody I come in contact with. When I do that, you said you'd take care of all my needs according to your riches and glory. We've got to get, it's just a matter of refocusing just a little bit, making little minor adjustments. Start the day with God. And look, you don't got to get on your knees and say, oh, Father in heaven, you know, the maker of the universe. You don't, that's religious. Say, Father, go with me today. You give me a word to say. You put me in position to do something. Or he might be putting you in a position for somebody to bless you. Somebody to give you that job you've been looking for. That position, that promotion. He might be extending his favor just by you obeying him. You see, this comes down to, it comes down to obedience. He said over there in Joshua, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. In other words, you'll have a prosperous life if you're willing and obedient. That's why we can't just, you know, hand somebody a track and think that's going to get them into God's kingdom. They got to be willing. They might be obedient. They might obey you. And yes, I'll pray with you. I'd rather have somebody come up to me and say, you know what? I want that. Now you've got their will. Their will's involved. I want my healing. I want my healing. So now you've got their will on it. God's will is already in line. It is his will. That makes it easy. But we can't force things on people, even healing, even getting anything good from God. He goes on to say, live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. This is key here to living out your destiny, to living the purpose that God has for you. I know it's not shouting ground. Live a cheerful life, that's good, but without complaining. Look, he teaches us with his word. He teaches us. I want to be taught. I want to be taught from him. I don't want to be taught from man or woman that gives me something that they dreamed up. I want the truth. Why? Because Jesus said, when you know the truth will what? Set you free. How many need freedom? You know, we need to be free. All right. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. How many could agree? That's where we're living. But we can live free from it. We can be in the midst of it, but we can be found innocent, faultless, and pure children of God. That's living a holy life. That's not a religious thing. That's just doing things God's way. You got to remember, when God created Adam and Eve, he used to come down and walk with them. That's how we set things up. He came down physically and walked with them. And he wants to walk with you. But because of what they did, it passes down. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the situation in the earth that we have. But Jesus came back 2,000 years ago. And he made a way for you and for me to live a better life. To live a blessed life, a consecrated, dedicated life. That's in abundance of joy, in abundance of prosperity, in abundance of peace, abundance of who he is. All right, he goes on to say, for you will appear among them. Among who? Among those out in the world. That's where you're going when you leave here. You're going to appear among them as shining lights in the universe. So this is getting back to our first purpose. We're to shine as lights in the world. But look at the reason why we're to let our light shine. Offering them, those without hope, we're to offer them the words of eternal life. We're to offer them the words of eternal life. That's God's word. That's God's word. We're to offer them something better than they're experiencing now. But we should be at that place where we are living for the Lord, living in our everyday job, which God has anointed us for. Now, we saw in John 10 and 10 that he wants you to have and enjoy life. And I've said this over and over. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, you need to find something that would make you have that joy so that you can express it through your occupation or your vocation or what you do. Because God gave Adam an assignment. He didn't create him and say, just sit in the garden and eat the fruit and, you know, do nothing. He gave him an assignment. Work is good for us. But you want to have work that's enjoyable. But listen, don't say Pastor said in church that he told me to quit my job today. No, do it right. Inquire of the Lord. Let him lead you. Let him get you to that place. He will open the door. He will make it perfect for you to have that job. Maybe you want to start a business. But here's the thing. Everybody's been telling you you can't. Don't got no money. But if that's a stirring in your heart and you know that's from God, God will make the way. You keep pursuing it. I talked to Barbara and Arbo after service last week because I remember her telling me that her little boy wanted to be an airline pilot. Remember that? You that were here last week? And she shared with me outside afterwards that from 3 years old, he wanted to be an airline pilot. And she said, so we didn't try to steer him one way or another, but we could see that he had a passion at 3 years old. And so they bought him airplane magazines. He couldn't read. You know, with the ads in the back for a Cessna 250 or whatever. He couldn't read, but they got him the magazines, and they get him little model airplanes. And they'd take him to the airport. They saw they were fostering something that was in there, and today he's a commercial airline pilot, and that's exactly what God's got him doing. And he goes places and is right there at, you know, he might be in Kansas City flying somebody there that's on business or whatever, and he's in a coffee shop having a sandwich. And right there, God brings together two people, him and somebody else that needs that alignment. And he's either able to speak into their life, or he might be on the road for, you know, 12, 14 days away from his family, and somebody will be right there to give him words of encouragement. Somebody will be right there. He'll bring a brother or a sister in the Lord right there. Or he'll bring somebody an opportunity that he now has to minister to. But God knows how to orchestrate it. He's the master air traffic controller. No crashes. God's never had a crash. Thank God we don't have many. We have really good air traffic controllers. But God is perfect. He's never going to be ahead of time. He's never going to be behind time. He's going to be right on time. But where it gets hairy, scary, and big for us is that it comes down sometimes to the last minute, and we're thinking he's not going to pull through. But he always does. He always does. And so we need to get to that place. How do you do that? By spending time in the Word. All right. I want to give you 4 points that you can, if you're taking notes, write them down. So how do we find our purpose? How do we find our purpose? I'm going to read out of Psalm 37. I tell you, all the answers are in the Bible. You say, well, it's not telling me what job I'm supposed to take. No, but it'll get you into the position you need to be for that door to open. All right, Psalm 37. Verse 3. Keep trusting in the Lord and do right. Do what is right in His eyes. Okay, so that's instruction. You want to know how to find your destiny? You want to know how to find the will of God for your life? Keep trusting the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure. Fix your heart on the fact that as you put Him first, as you seek first the kingdom, He's going to bring this to pass. So that's something that you want to be reflecting on and meditating on. Father, I just thank You. I'm putting You first. That's why it's important to get up in the morning and you know, I don't want to say greet, but, you know, spend time with Him first. And say, Father, I'm going to put You first in my life, and I'm going to hang out with You, kind of. And I'm going to do what You say. I'm going to fix my heart on Your promises. That means I'm going to believe them. So if I believe them, that means I've got to act on them. Okay? Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure feasting on His faithfulness. In other words, He's going to pull through. I said He's going to pull through. He will show you. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. You see, that's where the number one desire, the number one part of why we're here on planet Earth. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. And look what He'll do. He'll provide for you what you desire the most. So what do you desire the most? You know, I think that because of the lack of knowledge, you know, parents would try to squelch the dreams that are within them, their children, and say, ah, you're just dreaming. God gave us dreams. God gave us an imagination for a purpose, and it's to be used. I don't know how many of you all know Bill Winston, but when he was a little boy, about 5 years old, he liked Superman. And he did chores, and he got, I think, 2 quarters from his parents for doing chores for I don't know how long it took him. So he could put a couple of box tops, cereal box tops, in the mail with 50 cents, and he got a Superman cape. And he loved that Superman cape. And he'd put that thing on, and he'd leap off chairs, and he was building within himself something far greater than who he was as a 5-year-old boy. And you say, well, that's not good. No, that is good. He was using his imagination. You got to listen to his testimony of how God used that as a little boy to get him to tap into heaven, to get him to tap into the supernatural. You know, we have a song, Jesus is our superhero. Is that what it is, Haley? Jesus is my superhero, something like that. You know, and it goes through Batman and, you know, all the other superheroes, but Jesus is the ultimate superhero. And so he says, you make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. He will provide for you what you desire the most. So your desires are important to God. Don't think that they're separate. I've heard people say, well, I'm just waiting on God. Well, just how many decades are you going to wait on Him? If He put a desire inside of you, and that, you see, the devil, he'll try to steal it. But if God put it there, he can't. Nobody can steal that desire. You might speak down on, you know, as a child, you might tell your kid, you know, whatever, but you can't take the desire from within them if God put it there. And this is what he's talking about here. Give God the right to direct your life. Here's something we need to do. First things first. Give him the right to. He won't take it. He won't make you. You have to yield yourself. You have to yield yourself and say, God, I'm willing. I want you to use me. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you will find he pulled it off perfectly. He'll pull it off perfectly. He'll appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. He will manifest as your justice. You might be having a situation going on in your life right now that's not fair, that people are coming against you. But God, you put God first in your life, He will bring justice into your life. He will get you off. Holy Spirit is your advocate. He's your counselor. You need a counselor? Seek Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what you need. All right. So number one, delight yourself in the Lord. So Psalm 37:4 would be point number one. Point number two, go over to Romans with me. I want to get through this today. Romans chapter 12. We talk about this a lot. We quote it a lot. Most of you are familiar with it. But are we doing it? Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, see, he's not making you. He says you have to present it. So you might want to get alone with God and say, God, is there anything that I'm doing in my body that's displeasing to you, that's not bringing honor to you? And let him speak to you. Because he's telling us we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. So we as believers, we as Christians, are not supposed to look and act and do the things the world does. You know, sin, some sin has pleasure for a season. But the Bible says, God says, the wages of sin is death. If you can keep that in your memory, that will help you to not be tempted. Because Jesus said, we would not be tempted beyond what we could endure. I paraphrased. We won't be tempted beyond what we can put up with. In other words, God's always going to give you last say in whether you fall into that temptation or whether you don't. The devil doesn't have last say in your life. He can't force you, he can't make you, he can't take you. But it's a choice. So God is just saying, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do we be transformed? By renewing your mind. It comes back to renewing your mind to the Word of God. And you say, well, what's that got to do with me finding my will and my purpose? We're going to get, let me get to the last point, because that's what I was doing when I was doing something that had nothing to do with a situation, and God gave me the answer. It made no sense. It still doesn't to this day. And yet he gave me victory in an area just because I was seeking him first. Because it doesn't show you what job to take. Doesn't tell you who to marry. Although that's an extremely important decision to make. Who you marry could be very well the second most important decision after you get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove. Comes right down to us. God's not making you. But by what we do, our life in what we say and what we do has consequences. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So you can prove. So you can prove. I have proof. I have proof I believe what I say. I have proof by how I live. That's my proof. So that I can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I can prove it for myself, but we saw over in Ecclesiastes that it was also, it wasn't Ecclesiastes, I forget where I was, but it said that we would be presenting ourselves as light for other people to see. We would live our lives in such a way that other people are going to see it. Other people are going to recognize it. Other people are going to want it. That's how we're to live. And you see, that's important in the job. That's important where you go in the marketplace. I think for too long, too much religion has gotten into the church to where it's just like nothing else outside matters. But to God, everything outside matters. I think religion has definitely put God in a box. But when you're at your job, you can be quietly praying in the spirit for somebody. You could, you know, sit with them at lunch and be the light that they need. See, the only reason people in the world that don't know God do the things they do is because they have a father that's leading them that way. And they're living in where? Darkness. Translated out of darkness. So we want to get them out of darkness. Darkness means they don't see things. They don't understand things. Of course they're going to sin. It's natural for them to sin because they are sinners. But we're not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We were saved by grace. And now we're new creatures in Christ. Don't refer to yourself as a sinner saved by grace anymore. You're not. You're a new species of being. How could you call yourself a sinner when you've been made white as snow, you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and you're totally new? You have been transformed in your spirit, man, and now we need to transform our minds by renewing them to the Word of God. Okay. Last point. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 with me. So present yourself to God. Renew your mind. Do Romans 12, 1 through 3. And that's point number 2. How do we find our purpose? He's going to show you. I said he's going to show you. I said he's going to show you. Only God can show you. I can't. Your spouse can't. The government can't. That's a good thing. Only God can show you. All right, 1 Corinthians 2. There's a lot here. I'm just going to present it to you, and we'll leave it at that, unless the Lord tells me to do something different. Here, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They were an interesting bunch, but, you know, so are we. He says, "And I, brethren," verse 1, "when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That's what you need in your life to find your destiny. You need a demonstration from God. You need him to show you. You need to hear from him. Verse 5, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Notice we're speaking here. We're speaking wisdom. "None of the rulers of the age knew this, for if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." Why? Because when Jesus was on the earth, all Satan had to deal with is one person, Jesus. But when you become born again and are in Christ, to the devil, you look like Jesus, or you should look like Jesus. And he will test you to see if you really believe what you say you believe. And if you do, he's going to be run with terror from you. And so now everywhere the devil shows up, there's just one Satan, there's demons too, but everywhere he goes, if he encounters Christians, he has to leave. He's always on the run. He's always on the run because we're here. And it sucks for him. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. He's always on the run. So Paul's saying, we speak the wisdom in a mystery. Now, kids, you like mysteries? What are mysteries? What's a mystery? A mystery is when you don't know something. That's very good. We just don't know. It's mysterious to us. And so Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God is God's counsel. That's who God is. His word is his wisdom. So when we speak his word, it says here, though, we're speaking it in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Notice God wants us to be glorified. But it only happens when we get on his plan and we allow him. All right, verse 10. But God has revealed them. Them what? The things that he's ordained for us. Your destiny. God has revealed your destiny. Put it that way. in verse 10, through his Spirit. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been saying that all along. I want you to see how it works. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How many have ever heard that, well, you just can't know the deep, mysterious things of God? It says right here we can. And he wants us to have it. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Remember, your spirit man is perfect. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received, say, I have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He's saying right here, he wants you to know the things he's given you. We saw in Ecclesiastes, he's given you your destiny. He implanted it inside of you. Here's how you draw it out. These things, verse 13, we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I want to read this from the Amplified. Verse 12, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize, that means light's coming, you're going to understand, we might realize and comprehend and appreciate, look at this, the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. It's so exciting. Yes, it is. And verse 13, and we are setting these truths forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language. He's talking about praying in your heavenly language, praying in tongues. That's why until I was about 30, 31 years of age, I didn't know what God's purpose for my life was. I had never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I never asked God. I never sought him on it. But everything changed when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was like the light came on in my soulish realm now. I began to understand the Word. I began to understand the Word. So here's the thing. I was facing a situation, and I humanly, I couldn't get an answer for it. It was just nobody could help me. So I felt inside of me, I felt the Lord say, I want you to go out for a walk. Well, that's not too hard to do. So I put my sneakers on and I went out for a walk. It was like in fall, but it was nice out. And I went for a walk and he said, I want you to pray in your heavenly language. So I walk and oh, sore que das da da me. Said, Lord, I just thank you. You're revealing to me. I'm just talking with him. I thank you. You're giving me the things that I've asked you for. I don't see it, but I know you see it. And so I'm waiting on you. So I walk a mile. I don't get no answer. So I walk another mile and I still didn't get an answer. I'm like on my third mile. It's just like, okay, when's this coming? I kept rejoicing. I kept being obedient to what he told me to do. And I just continued to thank him. I thank you, Lord, that you gave me the answer. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm listening. I said, and I talked to him. I said, God, I'm listening, and I'm listening for you to talk to me right now. So I'm listening. And then I got to a point where I said, God, he said, I'm not hearing anything. Are you not speaking? I mean, I'm just having a candid walk with him. And I get I was 40 minutes into this walk, and he gave me a scripture verse. And I knew that was the answer. I go running home, I get my Bible, I open it up to that scripture verse. That scripture verse had absolutely nothing to do with my situation. But here's the thing. I was obedient, I read the scripture, and God dropped in my heart the answer. And I said, that doesn't have anything to do with that. That answer's not in, that's not my answer. I was obedient. I sought the Holy Spirit, and then I got quiet. He saw that I was obedient. I mean, could have done it in 10 minutes, but he chose, you know, whatever. But I stayed obedient. I stayed, you know, in obeying what he said. He gives me a verse that means nothing. And I'm like confounded. It's like, what is this? I was so excited to get home and open it. It's like it was going to be there. And it was like, that doesn't have nothing to do with it. But then he spoke to me. And that's how it works. Then he spoke to me. And I heard his voice. And he gave me the answer. And no man or woman could have helped me with that. It was something that had to come from him. So how much more with your divine purpose and destiny in your life? You've got to seek him on it. You've got to seek him on it. But you've got to get first things first. Seek first the kingdom. But then he wants you to not stay conformed to the world. He wants you to renew your mind. So all the time that you're renewing your mind to the word, you're in obedience to him. So now he can talk to you about who to marry. He can talk to you about what job to take. He can talk to you about what state you need to be living in and what church to go to. And all these things that aren't found in here, he will tell each one of you individually, and you'll get that knowing. You'll just have the answer. You'll know you've got the victory. I was sharing, you know, just last week or two when we were going to purchase the building, and I get a call 1 hour or email 1 hour before saying, this is off until you get this paperwork. I had no physical control to get the paperwork. And so my sister and I, we were together over at the house there working, and she heard me, I was reading the thing. She said, what's that? I read it to her, and she said, it's not our problem. It's God. It's God's deal. That's what she said. This is God's deal. I said, you're right. It's God's deal. This is how I solve my problems. This is how I get my victories. I just began praising him. It made no sense, but it made no sense to King Jehoshaphat either. God gave him the instruction, just go out there and bring your singers, bring your musicians. It's like, wait a minute, there's three armies three times bigger than us, and they're going to wipe us out. But he showed him how to do it. God might give you a totally different, he might not give you a scripture and then talk to you. He might give you something else to do. He might say, I want you to go down to the coffee house. You go down to the coffee house, I don't like coffee. Well, just sit there. And somebody comes in and they sit right beside you. And all of a sudden, they start talking to you. God's got a bazillion ways of getting your answer to you. You need how many of them? You just need one answer. But when we do it his way, I mean, what kind of a cool life are we living? It just, like you said, it's exciting. It is exciting to know your God that you've never visually seen, but you've seen the evidence of him, and you've seen him work in your life, and you see him, you know, there's a song that God can do it again. I've seen him move the mountains, and God can do it again. Absolutely. I sing that song. Say, God, you pulled through me before. You're going to pull through me again. You showed me. So here's the thing. If you certainly don't know what your destiny or what your purpose is, or maybe am I in God's will or am I out of God's will? Ask him. Ask him. Take some time. Unfortunately, we live in a country that everything is on fast forward here, it seems. Everything's got to be instant. You got microwaves. You got drive up everything because we're in such a hurry. In such a hurry for what? There's a book out called Live the Let Go Life. And I haven't finished reading it, but I think what I'm getting out of it is it's spend time with God and he'll work out all the other stuff. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. We make lousy gods over our own life. We make lousy gods. But God is perfect. We need to be honing in our skills at hearing from him and believing him. Because we're called to believe him. All things are possible to him who believes. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that it has fallen on hearing ears and hearts that would receive it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd continue to minister these scriptures that have been spoken today. you'd continue to reveal things to these people. I pray, Father, that each and every person that has heard this message would seek you wholeheartedly, and they would know exactly what you'd have for them in this life. It's all good, Father. I thank you for that. It's full of promises that are awesome. It's full of blessings. It's full of your favor. I thank you, Lord. It's full of the joy. It's full of peace. It's full of everything that you've given us. You've deposited into our spirit, man. Father, help us to draw it out and make it manifest in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Remember this, God loves you. We love you. Tell somebody this week that God loves them.